all salespeople, I'm calling all salespeople. Get prepared for a slim, bald-headed brother with skills. Wearing a tailored suit, polished shoes, and gold watch. Last seen in Atlanta, boarding a plane, on his way to do another training. Sales pros, tighten up.
What's up, sales pros? Thank you for joining me again for another episode of the Sales is Simple podcast. Want to thank you very much for your patience over these past couple weeks while I've been traveling, had a death in the family, and kind of were a little bit off kilter, but everything is back to normal as much as it can be, back on a regular schedule, back with some good content for you. Want to get some things out of the way first and foremost. If you have not subscribed to the Sales is Simple Facebook group, make sure you go over there and send in an invite. Got some good things coming up, especially with contests, with new members joining. Also, if you have not registered for the Sales Pro Academy, make sure that you take a look at that. Just go to salespro.academy. You'll get some information talking about how you can learn outside of the podcast, get some information fed to your email inbox every single week. Now, I don't remember if I shared with you guys that I was recently in a minor automobile accident. Girl T-boned me, so I've been dealing with that whole thing, dealing with the body shop, the attorney, physical therapist, chiropractor, the whole nine yards. Yes, I'm okay, just a little banged up a little bit, so I'm going through the process. And today I want to take my interaction with one of the medical professionals and align that with the Sales is Simple approach. As you know by now, there's a five-step approach that I teach from. Set yourself apart, ask the right questions, land them on a perfect offering, explain your value proposition, and set up your next sale. Today's episode is going to be about how I was basically sold while dealing with one of the medical professionals. So I'm going through and had a recommendation from my attorney to go see a physical therapist. After I go in, get all my preliminary paperwork done, they send me back, of course, to the waiting area or actually the room where I'd be waiting for the doctor to come in. And one of the things they did in the beginning, which was how they set themselves apart, was when I went in there, the receptionist or the front desk clerk said, go ahead and have a seat anywhere you like. Now, I want to kind of give you guys a visual on how this room looked. First of all, it was a lot bigger than a normal doctor's waiting room, if you would. It wasn't just an exam table and a doctor's stool and then a counter with, you know, some of their syringes and stuff like that on it. But it's actually a pretty sized room, pretty big sized room, had the exam table in it, but it also had the little stool for the doctor and two like lounge chairs in there. So I took them up on their offer, sat in the lounge chair and wanted to see kind of how things would go. When the doctor came in, he plopped himself down right on the exam table and started having a conversation with me as if, you know, there was no challenge with me sitting where I was sitting. So that was the first thing they did to kind of set themselves apart. You know, usually they try to make you sit on the exam table or sit here or sit there, and they freely invited me to sit anywhere I wanted to sit. Now, the next thing he did was, as he started asking the right questions, he wanted to find out about what my previous interactions with the other physicians were. You know, when I went to see my primary care physician, as I was seeing a chiropractor, kind of what was going on, when did I start, what the process was going on right now, and kind of where we left off. But one of the things that I liked about the questions that he asked were he was asking a bunch of open-ended questions. And as you know, open-ended questions are questions that somebody has to answer by giving you basically an explanation or an answer. They can't just say yes or no or black or white or up or down. They have to give you some kind of explanation and actually talk to you and interact with you in order to answer the question. So one of the questions he asked was, you know, how did it go at the doctor's? So then I had to tell him kind of the whole process, what happened with the doctor's office. Another question that he asked me, which was, so what was the outcome? You know, what happened after you got done seeing the doctor and kind of where did you leave off? So these open-ended questions allowed us to have some interaction. And I could tell he was genuinely concerned about my perspective, what I felt, what I liked, what I didn't like. One of the things that I did mention to him was that I was kind of shoved into trying to take some medicine. The doctor that I went to see in the beginning wanted to give me a steroid shot. Then they basically said, hey, we're going to write you a prescription. We'll send it over to your pharmacy. They'll give you a call, you go over there and pick it up. Didn't really give me or ask me at all, was I interested in getting any of that done? I basically told them I wasn't, but by that time they had already sent over the prescription over to the pharmacist. So over the next couple of days, the pharmacy was calling me. Hey, Mr. Jameson, we have your prescription ready. We just need to get some information, blah, blah, blah. So I say all that to say, as he was asking those questions, he began to realize that I wasn't interested in getting shoved a prescription. Now, if there was going to be some medicine or some kind of pain medication that would help, then I would be open to that, but I wasn't interested in being shoved a prescription and saying, hey, you need to go fill this out. So as he was asking those right questions, he was gathering that information from me. The L, when he started to land me on the perfect offer, and here's where he started taking that information that we get from the ask the right questions phase and start to formulate a game plan. In the case of the doctor or the physical therapist, is they start formulating a plan of treatment. Now, because I had spent a considerable amount of time talking about how the other doctor had basically tried to shove some medicine on me, and we were having an interactive conversation. I wasn't, you know, doing all the talking. He wasn't doing all the listening, but he would probe in the middle of my conversation. He would ask me more questions. He would interject his perspective on taking medicines versus natural healing versus letting the body heal itself, things like that. But he was very genuine about the fact that he wanted to hear and listen and make sure that he followed the plan that I wanted to follow. So he basically said, look, I understand your position and I'm not going to push any medicine on you. All right. But what I would recommend that we do is just keep that open. You know, if you get to a point, most of the medicine that I would possibly prescribe for you would be, first of all, at your choice. That was a big thing that he said that I remembered. He said it would be at your choice, your discretion, whether or not I would prescribe medicine. And then the medicine that I would prescribe would be your choice as well. So basically, he was like, if you like Tylenol, if you like Advil, Aleve, any of those over-the-counter pain medications, then I can prescribe you a basic stronger version of that without getting into any major side effects. Of course, there are going to be some extra side effects over an over-the-counter medication, but I want you to be in complete control. Now, this was very interesting to me, and it was eye-opening because I'm sitting here talking to this doctor, listening to him, and at the same time realizing that he's really going step-by-step through the process, through the sales of simple approach, and doing everything that we should be doing. So just to back up a little bit, first thing he did was set himself apart, and not him specifically, but the practice set themselves apart by allowing me to sit wherever I wanted to sit, to be comfortable. It was a nice big room for me to be seen and talk to the doctor. So you want to make sure that you set yourself apart, do what you need to do right from the beginning so that you catch your client's attention. They realize right from the beginning, whether it's the way you look, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, your body language, your first message to them, how you shake their hand. But they say there's something different about this person. And I really am interested in wondering and finding out what they have to say from here on out. I was especially intrigued when he started asking me the questions because he didn't just fire off rapid questions like I teach, not to just be like an interrogation where you just bam, 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 firing questions. And if you've been around any kind of doctor or physician or medical professional for any amount of time or have had to see them, you know they typically try to get to the end result very fast, go see the next patient. You know, they were asking you rapid fire questions, basically trying to give you a quick diagnosis and or write you a prescription so that they can get on to the next patient. I could tell this wasn't going to be that kind of conversation. So he did a very good job of asking me the right questions, asking me relevant questions that sparked my interest in interacting and having a relationship with his practice. After that, he transitioned right into the land him on a perfect offering phase, where he began to discuss the things not that he specifically would do, but that what he wouldn't do. So he's basically taking it off the table that we were going to have a opioid or a medicine or a prescription conversation. This was going to be a plan that was going to be dictated primarily by me with his expertise. Now, I want to repeat that and let you guys understand what I just said. Is that he made me feel like I was in the driver's seat, like I was in complete control of what was going to happen to me and my body, while also lending his expertise. without connecting with somebody in the beginning and making them feel like they at least have a say-so or have some kind of control or what's going to happen within your process, it's going to be hard for them to appreciate the expertise that you have. And second of all, they're not even going to care what kind of expertise you have, whether you've been doing what you've been doing for 2 weeks or 20 years. None of that's going to matter if they don't feel a sense of involvement in your process. And the way to get them involved is by those first three steps: setting yourself apart, asking the right questions, and then you can direct them to an offering that's perfect for them. Or in his case, he realized that the perfect offering for me would not include medicine or a prescription right off the bat, so that we needed to take another course of action. And so his recommendation would be to take our time, run a couple more tests, make sure that we had exhausted every single option available before going into any kind of prescriptions if necessary. And again, even if we were at that point where he would recommend a prescription, he gave me complete authority to say, nope, not interested in doing that. But he did, again, a perfect job of walking me through this process so far. Now, next step, explaining the value proposition. This one was a little different because I wasn't paying anything out of pocket. My insurance company wasn't paying anything out of pocket because I'm dealing with an attorney. There's no real money exchanging hands right now. But he did have his office make sure that I understood that they were going to have a relationship and have conversations with my attorney, and that those two would make sure that the monetary aspect of it would be covered. So that's one thing that I didn't have to worry about. So even though there was no exchange of monies at this point, he still did a good job of making sure that his office personnel explained the value that I was going to get and what I didn't have to worry about in terms of payment. He also had something pretty interesting, which was the office had a separate coordinator who was responsible for handling those financial interactions between the patient and the attorney and the insurance company or whoever else was involved. But even though this wasn't a traditional payment or investment opportunity or situation, they had processes in place where they still discussed the value and talked about how they were going to make sure that all lines of communication stayed open so that there would be no issues with any kind of payment from a third party or the attorney or whatever the case was. So again, very good job of explaining the value proposition, even though a specific dollar amount didn't need to be discussed at this time. So that was a kind of a quick, you know, going through the E, explaining your value proposition. And the last one, setting up the next sale, there's a couple things that he did. One was intentional and deliberate, and the other one, he may not even been aware that he was doing it. So the intention one that he did had to revolve around their process. And part of setting up your next sale is making sure that you stay in continual follow-up with the customer. Anything that has to be done after that initial interaction needs to be set up by you and or by them to make sure that both of you know your next course of action. In this case, we set up our next appointment. The follow-up appointment was done. Go up to the receptionist. They talk about how, you know, check my days, check their schedule, make sure that we can get back in time to review the results of the next plan of attack. Now, the other part that he probably did not know that he was doing and setting up the next sale was he was actually creating an advocate for me in the community. Now, you hear me talking a lot about you want your customers to be a soundboard for you out in the community, for them to basically go out and sell your product, your services, your offering to other people within their network. And how he did this, and I'm going to back all the way up to setting himself apart. And the only reason I'm saying it now is twofold. First of all, because this is the point in the process where he mentioned it. And second of all, I want you to see how everything kind of ties in. So as we were kind of wrapping up our interaction together, he asked me, he says, are you from Norfolk? And I kind of got taken aback for a second because I was like, first of all, a couple things. Why would he ask me that? And then second of all, why would he pronounce it like that? So anybody who's been to Virginia, knows anybody from Virginia, has flown into Virginia, you know that the city of Norfolk is pronounced Norfolk by us natives. And yes, it sounds like you are cursing at the time, but that's the correct pronunciation from us on how you pronounce Norfolk. Now, it's spelled Norfolk. And so if anybody who is outside of our community pronounces it Norfolk, we know that they're not from there. So he says, are you from Norfolk? And the second thing that kind of shocked me was because I was like, well, why would he ask me that? Forgetting that I had on my college T-shirt from where I attended and graduated from Old Dominion University, ODU, which is in Norfolk, Virginia. So we started talking and come to realize he's from Hampton, Virginia, which is right across the water from us. And so we had some commonality. Now, you don't always have to build rapport exclusively in the beginning of the sales process. You don't have to just talk about it during the ask the right questions phase. You don't just have to talk about it in the set yourself apart phase. But here's where he did a very good job of connecting with me all the way at the end of the quote unquote process by asking me about the shirt that I was wearing. So we probably had a good 3 or 4 minute conversation about home, talking about what high school he went to, what high school I went to, our respective football teams, our colleges, where some of his classmates went to school, where some of my classmates went to school. My daughter actually goes to school in Norfolk now. So it was really a connection that really cemented everything that we had just talked about, made the interaction that we had prior cemented that a whole lot better, because now I could really see he was genuine about everything that we just went through. So don't think that you have to go through this process step by step. You go and set yourself apart and then you completely stop. And then you go directly to the ask the right questions phase, and then you stop asking questions, and then you land them on the perfect offering, and then you stop talking about that. This process and approach is so fluid that you can move throughout the entire interaction with your client, continuing to build rapport, continuing to look for ways to make them a soundboard in your community. So when that happened, there was an instant connection between us. Now, you've heard me teach to look for things in the beginning, and it probably wouldn't have made as much of an impact on me had he mentioned that in the beginning. We would have had the conversation, but then that conversation may have been trumped by the business at hand that we had to take care of. By him waiting until the very end of the conversation and then bringing that up, it took all the business off the table. We were done conducting business. We were done talking about medicine. We were done talking about physical therapy and chiropractors and prescriptions and all that stuff. Now we were talking about life and our hometown. So a very good job of him bringing that up at the end. And that's why I said he may not have been familiar with what he did and how big of an impact it made with me. I mean, think about it. I'm sitting here telling you this story right now about some physical therapist that you've never met. But I will tell you this. If you were looking for a physical therapist and you reached out to me and said, hey, Tamon, do you recommend somebody who I could go to or who I should visit because I need some work done, I would promise you that that physical therapist's office that I attended would be at the top of the list. All right. So I wanted to share that story with you today and really bring everything into perspective about selling. We've talked in previous episodes about how selling is in every single aspect, in every single industry, and it's not exclusive to just quote unquote salespeople. All right, this guy did a very good job of selling. His office did a very good job of selling. And no, it wasn't a traditional selling atmosphere. But as you can see through this experience, there were specific examples of selling throughout the entire interaction from when I walked in the door to as I was leaving. So hope you got some good nuggets from that. Hope you can take that and apply that to whatever it is you sell. I would also implore you to keep your eyes open as you're out in different situations. Listen and look for sales cues, because these sales cues happen each and every day. As you can tell for the past several episodes, or there's been a series of episodes here lately where I've basically just taken something that's happened to me throughout the week that had no sales implications on the surface and related that to a sales atmosphere. So as you're out and about doing your daily task, when you're not at work, of course, when you're not selling, when you're just interacting with people on a personal level or a business level from your own perspective, just keep your ears and eyes open to the different sales transactions that are occurring each and every single day. Don't just listen to them. Don't just watch them, but apply what you learn from them to your sales situation. That will make you a better salesperson. And if you have to talk to the person who is trying to sell you, whether they're doing a good job or they have an opportunity to do better, it will give you an opportunity to talk to somebody else and give them some insight, learn from them. They can learn from you to raise the bar for all us salespeople. All right. So thank you again, guys. I really appreciate the patience again over the past couple of weeks. Feels good to be back in the fold again, giving you some valuable content that you can apply right now. Look forward to hearing some more comments from you guys in the Facebook group, personal text, emails, things of that nature. And in the meantime, always remember that the best way to get what you want is by giving others what they want.